Great. My name is Jay Kiesling. I'm professor of chemical engineering and bioengineering at the University of California, Berkeley.
Okay, and you're also the CEO of the
I'm Joint. Also the CEO of the Joint Bioenergy Institute.
Okay, so we are learning so much and so much is changing so quickly with marijuana and CBD. What have you and your team discovered?
We've taken the genes out of cannabis that are responsible for producing THC and CBD, and we put them into yeast. You can grow yeast on sugar, and it produces CBD or THC, depending on which genes it has in it, just like brewing beer.
Okay, wait. So this is a game changer. So we can actually do this without plants then?
That's right. You can do all of it without plants. In fact, it's better than plants, and let me tell you why it's better than plants. It's better than plants because of cost. It's actually cheaper to do these fermentations when they're fully optimized than it is to grow cannabis in fields, in greenhouses. You can also produce THC and CBD using chemistry, but that's really expensive. So the yeast is much less expensive than those. You can get THC and CBD, but there's also about 100 other cannabinoids that have been found naturally in cannabis. We can produce those minor ones that are very hard to purify out of cannabis because they're in such minute quantities. But with the engineered yeast, you could produce large quantities of them. There might be a blockbuster drug in one of those. We can also produce unnatural ones that have never been found before using a simple technique where we feed some fatty acids to the yeast. They get incorporated into the THC and CBD, and we can get some unnatural versions that we might be able to put into a patch so you can dose them through the skin, or we could put another drug on it so you could have two drugs that would go to a particular location in the body. You can do all kinds of things with them. The third reason that this is so good is because of the environment. There's a lot of concern in California and other states around cannabis and the waste from growing cannabis. With the yeast process, you generate much less waste, and the waste you do generate, we know how to deal with. You can deal with it in a wastewater treatment plant. And then the fourth reason why this is so much better is control. We can build circuits into the yeast and dependencies so that it won't grow outside the laboratory or won't grow outside the production facility. Anybody that's got sunlight and dirt can grow cannabis. This is a way where you can control it. So, say, if you've got a federal government that doesn't like cannabinoids, or some federal government in another country that doesn't like them, you'll be able to grow and produce these in a large-scale production facility and control the yeast so that it can't get out and other people just use it nefariously.
Have you been in contact, or other, I would imagine, pharmaceutical companies would jump at this?
So I started a company that's just across the street from us called Demetrix, and they are working on making the yeast a super producer of these and then scaling it up. And their whole business model is to be able to produce these for pharmaceutical companies or cosmetic companies that might want to use them and incorporate them into their products.
Oh my goodness! This is really mind blowing. How did you even think to use the yeast? I mean, maybe it's just
So my lab's been using yeast for many years to produce products. So a decade ago, we engineered yeast to produce an anti-malarial drug called artemisinin. And that led to the formation of another company called Amyris that's downstairs in this building. And about 35 tons of artemisinin has been produced using this process. The process is in many ways easier and faster to use than growing the plant and extracting it from there. That 35 tons translates into 70 million cures for malaria that have gotten out to Africa. And ever since the yeast process has been introduced, the artemisinin costs for people who have malaria has dropped substantially.
Okay. And when we come to CBD and THC, what's the scale right now? I mean, and how long does the process take?
Yeah. So the scale right now in the laboratory is very small, right? In my lab, we're doing this in small shake flasks. So less than a cupful of yeast. And the yeast is not producing very much. You couldn't get a mouse high on what we're producing in the laboratory. But over at Demetrix, they are doing this in larger scale, and they've got yeast that produce substantially more of this than what we do. And you know, everything we do in my laboratory and over at Demetrix is approved by the DEA. We follow all of the federal guidelines for producing these things. But production will be very quick. The production can be done in a matter of days. So, you know, you can go into the freezer. You can get the yeast that that produces either THC or CBD. You streak it out on plates and grow it over a few days, and then you put it in your large-scale tanks in just a few days. So, you know, we're talking a week or two. You can get large-scale production of these molecules once it's fully scaled in a production facility.
Wow. I think this sounds like a game changer.
You know, I think it could be a game changer. And, you know, there's CBD that's been approved for epilepsy in children, a very important therapy, but it's got to be really pure, not contaminated with THC at all. Using the engineered yeast, it'll be much easier to make these molecules in a pure form, because in a plant, they're contaminated with all the other things that are kind of like them, of the other cannabinoids. In yeast, we can produce almost exclusively the single cannabinoid. You know, the other issue, I think, with THC and CBD, when you buy it in cosmetics or in cookies or in oils, is that you don't know how much you're going to get. And I don't know about you, but I like to have therapies where I know exactly what the molecule is that I'm getting and how much is in there. And that's what we'll be able to supply, is high-quality, pure cannabinoids for the consumer.
Congratulations.
It's really exciting. And it was a huge team that worked on this, and they worked extremely hard.
Tell me about the team. Are these UC Berkeley students, grad students?
Yeah, the team is a mix of graduate students, postdocs, undergraduate students, visiting students, scientists here. So it was a big mix of folks, each with their specialties, and they worked extremely hard to get this completed.
And that's not overnight. That doesn't happen in a matter of weeks. And the way you describe
this is 2 or 3 years worth of work.
Yeah.